Shalom, אנחנו לומדים את נושא.
Hello, we are studying the deficiency for the greatness of the Creator. We're reading selected passages from the sources, and we're going to continue from excerpt number 11. You can send questions on Kab.tv or Sfiva Tova, and selected questions will be asked here during the lesson. Excerpt number 11 from Baal Salam Shamati 47, in the place where you find his greatness. In the place where you find his greatness, there you find his humbleness. It means that one who is always in true dvekut, adhesion, sees that the Creator lowers himself, meaning the Creator is present in the low places. One does not know what to do. And this is why it is written, who sits on high, who looks down on heaven and on earth. A person sees the greatness of the Creator, and then who looks down, meaning he lowers the heaven to the earth. The advice that is given to this is to think that if his desire is from the Creator, we have nothing greater than that. As it is written, he raises the poor out of the litter. First, one must see that he has a lack. If he does not, he should pray for it. Why does one not have it? Because the reason he does not have a lack is due to the diminution of awareness. Hence, in every mitzvah, in every commandment, one must pray, why does he not have awareness that he is not keeping the mitzvah in wholeness? In other words, the will to receive covers so he will not see the truth. And if he would see that he is in such a lowly state, he would certainly not want to be in that state. Instead, one should exert in one's work every time until he comes to repentance. As it is written, he brings down the netherworld and raises up. This means that when the Creator wants the wicked one to repent, he makes the netherworld so low for him that the wicked one himself does not want to be so. Hence, one needs to pray pleadingly that the Creator will show him the truth by adding to him the light of the Torah.
במקום שאתה רואה גדלותו, שם אתה מוצא ענוותנותו. פירוש.
Again, in the place where you find his greatness, there you find his humbleness. It means that one who is always in true dvekut, in true adhesion, sees that the Creator lowers himself, meaning the Creator is present in the low places. And one does not know what to do. And this is why it is written, who sits on high, who looks down on heaven and earth. A person sees the greatness of the Creator, and then who looks down, meaning he lowers the heaven to the earth. The advice that is given to this is to think that if his desire is from the Creator, we have nothing greater than that. As it is written, he raises the poor out of the litter. First, one must see that he has a lack. If he does not, he should pray for it. Why does one not have it? The reason he does not have a lack is due to the diminution of awareness. Hence, in every mitzvah, in every commandment, one must pray. Why does he not have awareness for not keeping the mitzvah in wholeness? In other words, the will to receive covers it, so he will not see the truth. If he would see that he is in such a lowly state, he would certainly not want to be in that state. Instead, one should exert in one's work every time until he comes to repentance. As it is written, he brings down to the netherworld and he raises up. This means that when the Creator wants the wicked one to repent, he makes the netherworld so low for him that the wicked one himself does not want to be so. Hence, one needs to pray pleadingly that the Creator will show him the truth by adding to him the light of the Torah.
How can we depict ourselves that all of those states that are dignified in our eyes are truly the worst possible states in the eyes of the Creator? How can we ask to see the truth, that everything that now is unimportant, despicable in our eyes, is actually honored and spiritual? How will we uplift in our group, well, each one in his ten, the matter of humbleness, to accept every state, specifically as much as it is unpleasant and it harms our pride, our ego, to accept it in the right way, that is, with joy and desirably. As much as we feel the state is unpleasant, to understand that it is unpleasant to my ego, and apparently, in the right way, if I were corrected, I would be happy about it. So, go ahead. You will start talking and it will become more and more clear. Give examples that the things that are low, despicable in our eyes, how we should elevate them in our eyes and realize that these are really spirituality. Well, let's say that I long to achieve something, to gain, spiritually, of course, and to the contrary. And that's not spirituality, it's not the right longing. The right longing, the spiritual one, is that I actually don't want these achievements other than humbleness and subjugation, and not to want any greatness and no achievements. Go ahead.
Basically, it's something we have to scrutinize between us. What do we want to attain? What value do we want to stress? There's no shortage of examples. And we have our teacher as an example, and we have friends that you can see that they work in this way. I also have an observant eye on myself, examining myself. Is this what I'm doing and delivering to the friends? The importance of this should be something we talk a lot about and turn it to something we engage with throughout the day.
Yes, that there would be a prayer that we will have the ability to first of all understand and to change our values so that we will have spiritual values. What will truly be important for us is the friends and bestowal and not the pride of each one. And also to pray that it would be possible to actualize this thing that sometimes seems impossible. How can we be above this ego that keeps on pumping?
You receive the strength from the environment, from Kabbalists, from everyone who's doing it. They show us examples because a person himself is all ego. He has no strength to subjugate himself, to be lowly towards the goal. He needs to receive a strength from the environment.
We need, as a ten, to create a deficiency and longing towards the next degree, always towards the greatness of the Creator, which is contemptible because we always want fulfillment in the present degree without working too much. If there is such an atmosphere of creating a kli always, then each friend can join that, because it awakens in him also that same kli.
It's all a matter of relating to states. And how do you measure them? Towards the goal or towards how my ego feels? And here, it's the other way around. The goal is for my ego to feel as least good as possible, and by that the Creator will feel better.
Yes, we are the opposite of the quality of bestowal. Therefore, we don't appreciate it. But by acting, by giving by the examples that we get from the friends who are also acting, it becomes possible to want something that I don't have.
Rav, how would I accustom myself to the fact that if I'm in constant deficiency, it's good. I'm happy to have a deficiency constantly. I need to just ensure this deficiency will be bigger and higher, more exalted, more. And this deficiency is something I develop, I try to make this deficiency my fulfillment. That it itself will be my fulfillment. Go ahead. How would I develop in me the constant deficiency, meaning to have a deficiency constantly, but for it to grow in quantity and quality and become fulfillment by itself?
The best way to achieve something on our path is to bring it to the friends. So by acting, playing, I build values of longing toward the greatness of the Creator. Seemingly, it's toward the Creator, and we don't need the Creator himself, just the longing to him. This is called torments of love, and it is truly a great pleasure.
I don't know if I understood it correctly, but I think every time you do an sort of experimentation in the ten, and you do things for the sake of the friends that are not necessarily comfortable for ourselves, then from that feeling of pain and the fact that I'm lacking something to do in practice, I can use my body in order to do things, which is a very special discernment. You seemingly look at the desire of the ten and your body as an instrument, a means. I don't know how to explain it exactly, but maybe from here.
This is the matter that all Kabbalists engaged in that, and this is what they recommend, and if you want to be like them, even if you don't understand what you need to do. And there is the fact that this is what the Creator demands, that this is how the person should work, and you want to do the right thing, even if you don't understand what it is. And the light of the Torah will do it for us and will bring us there. We just have to devote time to it, and it will drip the medicine to us.
Perseverance, persistence, acting towards a friend, and greatness for them to be impressed by any form. There can be any sort of personal example that can advance them. Everything, all the advice we hear from our Rav and the Kabbalists.
And besides the personal example, to do what we started with today, to look at the qualities of the friends always, and to be envious, to see what am I envious of? What do these special friends have? That thanks to that, they succeed. Thanks to that, they are so great. Look at those special qualities they have, to envy them and to want to acquire them.
I don't know, I think that you are all this raw material, the place of my work. I come to Anal before you, and then what's left for me is to see you as greater and to envy you, just as we started the preparation. You are a constant deficiency, because the more I look at you, the more I find the deficiencies, things I lack. The 10 is the best place. The fact that I'm able to do it, it means that I, with the help of the Creator, I'm able to annul before you. This is something we have to constantly nurture and work on it.
We will be reading from letter 19 by Baal HaSulam. At the time of the preparation, the grace and beauty seem to be the essence of the perfection, after which one longs and desires. However, at the time of the correction, when the land will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, then I have seen an upside-down world, because only the fear and the longing, they are the essence of the perfection that one desires. And it is felt that during the time of the preparation, they were lying to themselves.
We spoke about it for the last few days. It's not the love that fills a person, but the yearning for the love, the yearning for who he likes. That's what fills him, that's what gives him pleasure, that he has that sensation, since there's no fulfillment, is egoistic fulfillment, that I receive it. Rather, I yearn. That's what is spirituality. That is called above reason. That's what it's called in order to bestow. The kli, the vessel, is a different kind of vessel. Specifically, the yearning fills a person. And that's the main thing. So, just as we spoke about love in these past few days, that the yearning for my beloved is what fills me, what brings me joy, and I need to grow that. And we see that in this world, it's clear to us that when we yearn for something, it fills us much more than when we already meet. And then it fills us, and then we see that it's completely not like anything I imagined, expected. Why? Because the nature of the vessel and the fulfillments does not work in this way. The true fulfillment, the constant, eternal fulfillment is from yearning and not from practical fulfillment. Where the will to receive is not designed to be filled, except in order to use it to develop above it a yearning for bestowal. Is that clear? Talk about it. This is truly the building of the spiritual vessel on top of the corporeal one.
Yes, because otherwise, how would a spiritual kli be built if not on top of the will to receive from oneself? that he wants to fulfill. It wants to fulfillment. It wants to be filled up always, but it never fills up. Rather, it is being used for something higher. To leave it empty and always live in a dimension of longing, of expectation, trying to be attached to the next state, to bestow.
This is the new vessel that we're building, a screen and a reflected light. I don't want the Creator to fill me, to kind of seal me with the fulfillment. I want to develop connection with the Creator, to yearn to be like Him, to yearn to bestow. And I will constantly miss it because the Creator is so great in my eyes. I need to chase bestowal because the Creator appears as great.
Yes, to chase after the fulfillment is like saying to the Creator, yeah, bring it to me and then you can go away because I want to stay with the fulfillment. Instead, we should always demand a lack, a deficiency, and truly to yearn the deficiencies, to want to be in contact, connection with Him, because He's the only one who can provide both this deficiency and also make it greater all the time. So then, what do we prefer, this or that?
It's a question of who is enjoying it. Is the goal for me to enjoy, or the goal for me to change my nature, to enjoy the fact that the Creator is receiving pleasure?
This is the nature of the spiritual world. There is abundance there, and we just have to develop a deficiency, a longing. In our world, it is the opposite. We have deficiencies already, we are just looking for fulfillments. This is why the moment the fulfillment comes in, it quenches the desire. This is why the kelim are built in such a way that all we need to do is to long.
Deficiency for deficiency, the pleasure from exertion, from effort, all those things are seemingly unnatural, but when we seek this unnatural value of bestowal between us, we make it so that we can receive infinity in bestowal to another.
If we all have a deficiency to reach spirituality, then we have a power, an inner potential, that because of which we can perform actions in order to achieve spirituality. If, God forbid, we will achieve spirituality, all this power will go away. So each one, as an individual, we have this interest that he will stay under concealment, so that we'll always have this yearning, this potential to keep on adding, to achieve such a yearning or longing that we want to succeed, to achieve something, and the fact we haven't achieved it is actually what provides us with this power.
There's a very special matter here, something we didn't expect, which is bestowal is the thing, the goal of this all of this creation. We talk a lot about it, but at the end of the day, it's like, wow, this is it. This is what it's all about. The ego remains empty, and bestowal is something that Kabbalists, who are like aliens, and you want to be also a special alien like them.
Rav, how from this we can understand that Tzimtzum Aleph, the first restriction, is never cancelled, and above it we develop vessels of bestowal. The will to receive always remains empty. However, we develop above it a vessel of bestowal. Go ahead. Out from between your speaking, out of your speaking.
By constantly caring about the deficiency, That's how my will to receive works. It's impressed by what he sees in the friends. So I have to have this impression in the will to receive of the friends, and I yearn for that.
Our life as a will to receive is deficiencies, always fears. We're always lacking and lacking. We just try to silence this deficiency. But in the 10, we can create a new lack. We can aim our lack to something which is true, something that is essential. A lack for the greatness of the Creator, a lack for adhesion between us, envy of the friends, a positive envy. We can develop new fears, a new kind of spiritual fear. And this is something that is not cancelled. This is something that is actually alive. And it creates the kli that we have to create.
We also spoke about that in the last few lessons, and we said that our whole need to come out of ourselves and not to think of ourselves, and constantly to be with the eyes looking outwards and truly, and not out looking out, but actually looking into myself. Our concern, our thought has to be on the other, just as the Creator is doing it naturally. And that's where we yearn to be, and in short, that's what we want to yearn for and what we want to realize on ourselves.
Here, specifically, this point is the revelation of spirituality, that in the will to receive there will be nothing, ever. And we actually live on fuel, which is longing. That's it. That we will succeed to accept that situation and live in it.
A person has to receive strength from the Creator in order to be able to use his desire, in order to keep it under the restriction and see the greatness and importance of the force of bestowal, and see in a new perception, in new vessels, for him to live in that force. This is possible only through the 10 and the environment and the light.
And when the 10 is constantly developing new deficiencies, then coming out of myself towards the 10 is what enables me both to keep this first restriction and also to develop vessels of bestowal in which we can be filled up.
We have to get it that the goal in life is not pleasure. You can't run all day to fill this animal within that wants pleasures. We have to aspire to something more, just higher, that there's the degree of man which lies above all the crazes of this world.
The restriction will not be cancelled because, according to the law of nature, we have to reach the Creator's degree, and He is in bestowal. This is why, without restricting our kelim,
Rav, so if the will to receive is called, or rather is under the restriction, and we need to now build a different attitude, a different attitude to the Creator, to the host. And what does it mean? What is the Rosh of the Potsuf, and what is the Goof of the Potsuf? Please.
Rosh of the Potsuf, the Rosh of the Potsuf is that place that builds vessels of bestowal, the possibility to even give back light, that by rejection and restriction we have a new need, a new deficiency to seemingly fill up the host, to receive from him, because this is what he wants to do, because this is his love towards us, because we want to equalize our form with him, because he wants us to equalize our form, not because we want to receive the fulfillment. And the goof is just a means for that thing.
It's possible that the Rosh of the Partsuf is the center of the 10, the common space between us, where none of our egos is present, But specifically to come to love and bestow between us, to the correct attitude between us, that's maybe where the Rosh is. And the goof is how we constantly act towards it. That this is how you have to, what we have to do, and then we implement it in practice.
Maybe the goof of the Parzuf is the joy that we can receive from this work. I don't know.
I don't know. It feels like the whole attitude should be about whether or not there is contentment above from each action I make, and the fulfillment is present. It's the feeling in the ten, in the goof.
Yes, maybe the Rosh is our common decision as a 10, with which decision deficiencies we agree to work and with which ones we do not. That we agree to be in our vote so that not each one will have to work with his individual deficiency, but to work only with our common deficiencies, which are spiritual deficiencies.
To work with common deficiencies?
Or it's my relation to the friends. That's the Rosh. And the goof is that place that remains empty upon which there is restriction.
We're talking about after the first restriction, the purpose of creation is to receive the light, to be in contact with the Creator. And the Rosh must make a calculation how much a person can receive the light of the Creator and still remain in contact, to be in love and connection with the Creator, not receive it inside the goof, which is already restricted.
Rav, questions? Well, nice, none. So, throughout the day, we try to always hold ourselves above the ordinary vessel, the will to receive, and to always be in the spiritual vessel. Okay. Yes.
Rav, what's the difference between delighting the Creator and yearning to delight the Creator?
It's a nice question. Contentment to the Creator. He gets it. We need to believe that he gets it from our yearning to give him contentment. More than that, we can't do. We have nothing with which to give contentment, but only by longing.
So, in the end, what does a Kabbalist attain in the end?
What does he attain?
Yeah, attain.
In the end, he attains his degree of equivalence with the Creator. As much as he yearns for the Creator, to that extent he discovers that the Creator yearns for him. And this mutual yearning is what he attains.
Privately, or individually, how... How do I distinguish between doing and yearning? In the ten, it's something individual, no?
I don't understand.
It's happening.
Practically.
Practically.
Okay. Practically. It's all in the sensation. Practically means in the feeling.
I'm asking for you, I'm doing many actions, but Rav says the important thing is to yearn. I need to be I can stay at home and just yearn. For them, for their greatness that they attain.
We are in the world of action, and so we have to carry out actions. There is no thought without an action that is helpful. We have to carry out actions.
What I'm asking, Rav, is can we explain, I understand, on the one hand, that yearning is the kli, but we constantly say that we want to give contentment to the Creator, contentment to the Creator.
Yes.
And here Rav is saying, no, yearning is enough.
Yes. Longing is the kli. That I want to do, I want to give, I want to reach it. That is the magnitude of the kli. The ordinary kli is not filled up. The will to receive in itself, we say, it is great, it is infinite. This is all in degrees that are not of meters, kilograms, etc. These are in degrees of intensity that is felt with respect to the one who is in it. In truth, the will to receive was created only with that feeling that it exists so that something can be built above it. But it in itself, I don't know how to say it, but it is only as a small degree, just as a small degree.
What does that mean, Rav, when, that the first restriction is never cancelled?
It's not cancelled. This means that the will to receive that wants to fill itself up will never receive fulfillment. Ever. Only that it wants to receive fulfillment inside of it, this is called klipa, shell. And this is why, because it has 5 degrees of youth, coarseness, there are 5 degrees of klipot, shells.
Ken.
Yes.
If the entire spiritual kli is in the yearning and constantly above reason, above the will to receive, suddenly it's not clear what is the goof of the patsuf.
That's nice, but this is what I asked. I asked about that, because of course the goof of the patsuf is not that will to receive, b'chinat daled, because it is forbidden for us to fill it up. Rather, that Bechinat Dalet, the fourth phase, if you say that it is the goof of the Pertzuf, then what is it filled up with?
That's a question.
That's nice, yeah?
No, because Rosh is clear, you can understand it. It's the intention to bestow reflected light above the will to receive, seemingly. What is goof?
I don't know. Think about it at least until tomorrow. I'm not going to say. Here, we need to break our head and our heart and think. Otherwise, we will constantly be talking this way. Rosh, goof. So, it's not clear. So, you know, if I do a square, that's the Rosh, another square, that's the goof.
This excerpt in his humbleness, humility, I will discover his greatness. How can you understand it? He writes so much there.
When we attain the degree of humbleness, the degree of subjugation, by that we attain the greatness. It is impossible to explain it before we come close to it.
Where do we attain the measure of humbleness?
We will discover that place. I've been talking about it for a few days now. You didn't quite hear me. Today you started feeling already that there's something here. We'll move forward a few more days.
It's not the world that we see.
No, it has nothing to do with our world. These are purely spiritual discernments, pure discernments that are not related to our world. In our world, in our psychology, in our feeling, there is no such thing. Therefore, it always disappears, and we can't detect it, and again, we have to search for it with candles. It has to clarify bit by bit. What can we do? This is our way. All right? Kiev.
Hello, Rav. Dear Rav, 15 minutes ago, you said that during the day, we need to be not in our corporeal vessels, but to try to be in our spiritual vessels. I understand that there's this moment where, let's say, a prayer for the friends, you feel the friend's deficiency and not yours. And in such moments, is this the meaning of being in the spiritual vessel?
I also asked before the lesson, during the preparation, do I see in the friends, in my friends, all kinds of qualities that I'm envious of, and that when I feel the envy, it fills me up? How can it be that envy fulfills? I want to get rid of it. To the contrary, I instinctively always want to justify myself and say, no, it's not important, whatever he has. My will to receive is not willing to remain in a minus, that there is something that is more than it, that is the opposite of it, that stings it, etc. I want the opposite. I want to feel that in my friends there are many, many achievements, good discernments, nice qualities, spiritual ones specifically. And I am happy about it. What am I happy about? That it pains me in such a masochistic manner, that it's in my friends, that then I can get from them their deficiencies, their achievements as my deficiencies. Is the fact that I feel that pain, it is actually the feeling of my new kli, the right will to receive, that actually in that will to receive, I use it. And from it, I build my spiritual parsuf. See, there are things here that come and go. They're not so clear. They're elusive. It's very good. But they're there. We will advance in that. Well, that's enough for today. Let's move on to the preface.